Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and it's the weekend, so as always, I'll be taking over for Bubba as the host of this weekend edition of the podcast. You can follow me at Jake Crumpler on Twitter and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball-related from Saturday, June 1st. We'll start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league. Starting off with the bad news, closing pitcher Jordan Romano of the Blue Jays was placed on the 15-day IL with right elbow inflammation. Romano was held out of action yesterday and was ultimately deemed necessary to spend time on the IL. Romano underwent an MRI that revealed no structural damage, so the hope is that he can return in just a couple of weeks. Jimmy Garcia will be the top option for saves for the Blue Jays until Romano returns. Starting pitcher Joe Musgrove of the Padres was placed on the 15-day IL with right elbow inflammation as well. It's the same injury that forced Musgrove to miss time last month. He missed 16 days last time, but the recurring nature of the injury likely means Musgrove misses at least the next 3 weeks. Starting pitcher Yu Darvish was also placed on the 15-day IL by the Padres. He suffered a left groin strain. It seems to be a minor injury, so expect Darvish back in a couple of weeks. The Padres are now without two of their top starters, though. So Randy Vasquez got a start yesterday after being recalled in a corresponding move, and bulk reliever Johnny Brito is a prime candidate to transition to the rotation to fill the other spot. In terms of transactions, outfielder Oscar Colas will be recalled from the minors today. This will be the 25-year-old's fourth stint in the majors. All of them were pretty small samples. Colas posted a 53 WRC plus in a 46-game sample in his first taste of the big leagues last year, and made just one plate appearance in a brief and confusing call-up earlier this year where he got sent down really fast after being called up. In the meantime, Colas hasn't necessarily impressed at AAA. Colas has exhibited a dramatically improved approach at the plate, but only has a 97 WRC plus to show for it. A corresponding move has yet to be announced, so it's unclear exactly who he'll be replacing, but you can pencil Colas into a fourth outfielder role for the time being. Starting pitcher Reed Detmers will be optioned to the minors today. In the surprise move of the day, four-year veteran Detmers was optioned to the minors. The southpaw started the year looking like a new man with increased rise on his fastball and a 1.19 ERA through his first four starts. Detmers then revealed his dark side with an 8.59 ERA across his next seven outings. The Angels will hope that Detmers can figure out what has been holding him back this year by facing weaker competition with less pressure at AAA. And in terms of news, starting pitcher Ranger Suarez left his start after being hit in the hand with a 106-mile-per-hour comebacker. X-rays came back negative, though, so Suarez was merely diagnosed with a hand contusion, thank God. It's unclear if Suarez will be able to make his upcoming bullpen sessions, which would ultimately limit him in his next start. And now we can take a look at the notable performances from Saturday, a day in which we had a full slate of 15 games. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with Emmanuel Valdez, who helped the Red Sox to a win versus the Tigers, going 3-for-4 with 3 runs, a pair of home runs, a double, and 3 runs batted in. He's up to 4 home runs on the year now. The first one traveled 399 feet at 106.4 miles per hour, while the second one went just 318 feet at 86.5 miles per hour. Valdez doubled his home run total on Saturday with the first multi-homer game of his career. The infielder doesn't get everyday playing time in Boston, so he shouldn't be considered in fantasy leagues. Valdez has had an inconsistent plate approach throughout his time in pro ball, ranging from high walk rates to high strikeout rates, and he's seen more of the latter this year in the majors as he struck out more than 30% of the time. So even with a pair of long balls yesterday, he still has a putrid 564 OPS. And some people might say, but anyone capable of hitting two homers in a game has to have some appeal. That's true, and Valdez touts some interesting batted ball metrics and has been really unlucky in the power department thus far. However, his lack of a full-time role and his struggles making contact make him an extremely flawed player for fantasy purposes. If Valdez finds his way into more playing time, then we can start considering him as a power producer. Ryan Mountcastle helped the Orioles to a win versus the Rays, going 2-for-3 with 3 runs, a pair of homers, 4 runs batted in, and a walk for good measure. He's up to 8 home runs on the year now. The first one traveled 400 feet at 105.4 miles per hour. The second one went 431 feet at 106.6 miles per hour, the fourth farthest hit ball of the day. Gosh, Mountcastle really would be so good if he didn't have to play his home games in Baltimore. He's once again having a standout season regardless, and it's weird to see that 7 of his 8 homers have come at home this year. Nonetheless, I still feel like Mountcastle could pair his 2021 power production when he hit 33 home runs with his improved .293 batting average this year in the middle of a dangerous Baltimore lineup and become a fantasy superstar. Though we can only dream of that, as Camden Yards will continue to prevent Mountcastle from attaining his true ceiling. We'll have to settle with an above-average offensive producer who stands out more in deeper leagues because of his consistency rather than his ceiling. And lastly, we have Miguel Andujar, who helped the A's to a win in Atlanta, going 4-for-5 with 3 runs, a home run, and 4 runs batted in. It was his second home run of the year, and it traveled 412 feet at 105.4 miles per hour. Andujar has been absolutely on fire since making his debut on May 24th. He's batted .448 while striking out just twice and batting second every day for the A's. It's not a great lineup, but Andujar is hearkening back to his days as a Rookie of the Year runner-up. And this performance didn't come out of nowhere. Andujar has been raking at AAA the past couple of years and batted .357 with 5 homers and no strikeouts in spring training before suffering an injury that kept him out for nearly 2 months. Andujar is worth the pickup in every league while he's on fire, and we'll worry about his place on our roster when he cools down and we have a larger sample of underlying metrics with which to judge him. But if you'd like a breakdown of notable hitting performances from Saturday, check out the Daily Batters Box article over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the mound and check out the notable starting pitching performances, opening with Ryan Weathers versus the Rangers. He took the loss, tossing 6 innings, allowing 9 hits and 4 earned runs, but he walked nobody while striking out 11. He induced 21 whiffs with a 35% CSW across 96 pitches, and Weathers earned the gallows pull on Saturday, leading baseball in whiffs as he set a career high with 11 strikeouts. He mowed down Rangers hitters with an onslaught of changeups. The slow ball had batters looking silly as it racked up a whopping 13 whiffs while going for an eye-popping 51% CSW as his most thrown pitch of the day. The four-seamer, sinker, and sweeper were all effective sidekicks, each of them inducing multiple whiffs. It's surprising then that Weathers surrendered 4 runs, and I think this one can be blamed on poor luck on balls in play. This start marks a continuation of a hot stretch for Weathers. The 2018 7th overall pick has pitched to a 2.54 ERA across his last 6 outings, immediately succeeding his WAR start of the season. It all feels a little shaky, but I think we gotta lean on Weathers in his next start against the Guardians because he's clearly in a groove. Randy Vasquez earned a win in Kansas City, tossing 5 innings, allowing 4 hits and 3 earned runs while walking 1 and striking out 5. He induced 11 whiffs with 27% CSW across 81 pitches. Vasquez was promoted to replace a pair of injured former All-Stars, and the right-hander fared well against the Royals as he earned his first win of the season. Vasquez made 5 starts earlier this year, pitching to a 5.82 ERA with a 13% strikeout rate during that time, and I don't think this start changes the outlook on Vasquez. He's mostly four-seamer curveball with an array of characters comprising a supporting cast. His bread and butter, though, accounted for 9 whiffs and 30% CSW on Saturday, but his inability to command the pitches illustrates the luck Vasquez was blessed with in the start. Vasquez has also struggled at AAA with a 7.45 ERA across 5 starts, and I'm not expecting Vasquez's ability to dramatically change moving forward. Vasquez would get the Diamondbacks in his next start, and I'm steering clear of that one. And lastly, Cody Poteet earned a win in San Francisco, tossing 5 innings, allowing 3 hits and 2 earned runs. He walked 1 while striking out 6, inducing 8 whiffs with 28% CSW across 78 pitches. Poteet made his second start of the year after making a spot start in April. He filled in admirably for the recently injured Clark Schmidt, effectively separating changeups arm side and sweepers glove side with fastballs all over. And ultimately, I don't think Poteet is someone to chase. His stuff suggests he's a Toby, hoping to get lucky on balls in play, but his numbers in the minor leagues tell a different story. The 29-year-old struck out 28% of the batters he faced in 7 starts at AAA this year, hinting at a higher ceiling than he's ever shown in the big leagues. Poteet should have an extended run in the rotation with a great shot at a win each time out with the Yankees backing him, which makes him a decent option to be a streamer until the rotation returns to help, though I'm going to pass on his next start against the Dodgers. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Saturday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily starting pitcher roundup over on pitcherlist.com. And now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves. We'll start with the former, as Danny Jimenez notched his first save of the year. Mason Miller threw 27 pitches on Tuesday and another 33 pitches on Thursday, so he was likely only going to pitch yesterday if necessary. Expect Jimenez to be trusted in high leverage situations moving forward. Luis Ortiz recorded the rare three-inning save, the first save of his career. Emmanuel Clase secured his major league leading 18th save with a perfect ninth. Clase is tied with Ryan Helsley for the most saves in baseball. Clase also leads pitchers with a 0.31 ERA this season. Josh Hader locked down his 8th save of the season. Hector Neris is up to 7 saves after pitching a scoreless 9th. And Evan Phillips recorded his 9th save with a perfect return to the mound. Now we'll check out the closers to pitch outside of save situations or blow their saves. Clay Holmes pitched the 9th with the Yankees up by 4. Robert Suarez also pitched the 9th with the Padres up by 4 after his offense tacked on 2 insurance runs in the top of the frame. Paul Sewald recorded the final out of the ballgame with the Diamondbacks up by 5. The team wanted Brandon Hughes to finish off the final 6 outs of the ballgame, but he allowed 4 runs in the 9th and needed Sewald's help to hold on to the lead. Sewald also hadn't pitched in over a week, so it can be considered a maintenance outing as well. Jason Foley pitched a clean 9th with the Tigers trailing by 3. Foley was in need of some action, having not pitched since last week. Michael Kopech pitched a clean 9th in a tie game before surrendering a walk-off to the first batter he faced in the 10th. And lastly, Trevor McGill pitched in the 8th inning of that one. It may have just been a lower pressure situation to help McGill get acclimated after missing a few days, but McGill showed no ill effects by striking out the side. But if you'd like a breakdown of notable relief pitching performances from Saturday, check out the Daily Reliever Ranks article over on pitcherlist.com. And before you look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break. Now we'll look forward to Saturday, June 2nd, a day in which we'll have a full slate of 15 games. My matchup of the day is Cole Reagans versus Michael King. We've got 2 starters with the propensity to rack up a boatload of punchouts. That one should be pretty fun. In terms of probable starters, we've got 4 guys in the auto starts tier, including Reagans. We've also got Luis Castillo versus the Angels, Freddy Peralta versus the White Sox, and Nestor Cortez in San Francisco. Our probably starts tier has 10 guys, and that's where we'll find our streamer of the day in Griffin Canning in Seattle. Canning has displayed the ability to strike out a handful of batters, and he gets a weak offense in a pitcher's park. I'd also keep an eye out for Ben Brown versus the Reds. Brown has a 1.61 ERA and a 31.4 strikeout rate in 44 and two-thirds innings pitched since his poor debut, and struck out 10 across 7 no-hit innings in his last start. To put even more factors in Brown's favor, he gets the Reds away from Great American Ballpark. I think you should go for that one. In terms of hitter suggestions, I'd go for Twins hitters against Hunter Brown and his 6.39 ERA. It's been a rough year for Brown, and there are plenty of Twins hitters primed for a big day at the plate in Houston. I'd also target Cardinals hitters versus Taijuan Walker in Philly. Paul Goldschmidt has torched Walker in his career to the tune of a .500 batting average and a home run. And now we'll close things out with our relievers to watch. Emmanuel Clase has pitched on back-to-back days, though he's only thrown a combined 21 pitches, and the Guardians have never shied away from going to Clase on 3 straight days. If Clase is out of commission, then Cade Smith and Scott Barlow have the best chance to vulture a save. Josh Hader has pitched 3 times in the past 4 days. I think the Astros are more likely to rely on Hader today than not, but if they do decide to rest him, Ryan Pressly would be the man for the 9th. Hector Neris has pitched in each of the past 2 games, so expect Mark Leiter Jr. to be the closer of the day. And lastly, Robert Suarez has pitched on consecutive days, but so have both Jeremiah Estrada and Wandy Peralta. So Yuki Matsui and Eniel De Los Santos seem like the most likely candidates to vulture a save. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Join PL Pro to gain access to the Discord to interact with Pitcherlist staff and members of the community, as well as to utilize the in-season tools to help you win your leagues. That'll wrap up this edition of the podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Jake Crumpler. Tune in tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast. Bubba will be back with you on Monday and throughout the week. And make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.